opening pasuk in Parshas Truma, the Gemara has a strange story about an apikoros. We asked the kasha of one of the chachamim. This is in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. And Apikori says to Rabbi Abohu, a silly kasha. The Rabbanish one is a kohen, as we all know, as he says, Yikuli Truma. So who takes Truma a kohen? So when the Rabbanish one Pasuk in Parshas Truma, the Gemara has a strange story about an apikoros. We asked the kasha of one of the chachamim. This is in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Amalei habu mina the Rebbe Abohu. An apikoros says to Rebbe Abohu, a silly kasha. The Rebbeish one is a kohen, as we all know, as he says, Yikuli Truma. So who takes Truma a kohen? So when the Rebbeish one buried Moshe Rabbeinu, how is he total? The Tosis is bothered with the kasha. What do you mean, how is he table? A kohen is not permitted to be mitam in the mason. We should have asked the kasha the proper way. The Tosis says, no, that we are considered bonim lamakon, and a kohen is mitami to the zayin kohen. Kohen shalom is not a kohen rov, he's not a kohen hedyah. The Tosis says, that's not a kasha. How is he allowed to bury Moshe Rabbeinu? Because we're all bonim lamakon, the Tosis says. But the kasha the apikoros yes was, how is the Rebbeinu Shlom going to be mitire himself? I'll say in a mikveh, so the pasuk says in Yishayim, Mimadad b'shalah b'sholay moim. Is it possible for anybody to measure the Rebbeinu Shlom stepping into the water? The Rebbeinu Shlom is so gigantic, there's no mikveh that can contain him. So Rabbi Bo answered the apikoros, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was table and eish. As the pasuk says in Yishayim, also in Yishayim, Kini Hashem b'eish yavo. The Rebbeinu Shlom can't go on fire. What kind of tefillah is there? Apikoros says, what kind of tefillah is that? The mikveh has to consist of water. So he says, no, the pasuk says in Chumash, Kol Shalei Ava Be'esh, Tavir B'mayim Metohir. The Ikar tefillah is really in Eish. As a substitute, a human being will get killed if he's Tavir on Eish. As a substitute, we use Bimkon. Bimkon Eish, we use water. The Rebbeinu Shlom uses the original. So all I got from the top to the bottom is a hatera. Except for the first line. It's the first line. They think Yerushalmi like that, that the pshat in the pasuk be kuli truma. Pasuk pshat is that the word truma over here just means a matana, a donation. Like in a modern Hebrew, when a mishulach comes from the yeshiva, merits itself, so they call it a truma. Truma is a donation. So the Yerushalmi comments in the beginning of truma, that's what the Torah Tmila quotes here on the opening pasuk. The Yikholi Truma, even though it's referring to the donation given to the Beis HaMikdash, these have a din like Truma that you give to a kohen. And we learn out from this pasuk, the halachas that are spelled out in the first Mishnah in Trumas, that a Cheir Shai to the Kotan cannot donate, cannot be Mafish Truma, because the pasuk says he cannot, it says Yikhu, how does it say? Beis Kalish, Beis Kalish brought the Kotan. And then we darshan also, they should donate what they have from their own property. So we learn out the dinim of Afrosha's Truma Aydei Cheresh Shoyte Bekotlon. And the person is Mafresh Truma Aldo Vashayna Shaloi. I learned that from this pasuk. That's the Tanoim are saying that it does have something to do with Truma. The Pashup Shad has absolutely nothing to do with Truma at all. The word Truma here means a donation. The word Truma over there means it's a different thing. Truma, Loharim. Loharim, Truma. Very strange. The Gemara assumes that the Talmud Yerushalmi in the beginning of Truma, Perikav Mishnalef, on the first Mishnah in Truma, assumes that this is a din of Truma. So it's not so wild. The first step that the Apikoros said. Then Taisus holds up this, Taisus speaks seriously of the rest of the steps also. It's not so wild. The whole Agadita is difficult.
Doesn't the Gemara go against
Yeah, we don't understand the whole Gemara from the beginning to the end. The Rambam says that one believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body is an apikoros. So the Ravid says, why is he an apikoros? There are gedolim and tzaddikim imena. There were greater, more pious people from the Rambam who were misled by the agadas hamshapshes esadas, by the agadas in the Gemara, that cause one to misunderstand. And this is one of the many agaritas that sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a body and he becomes tummy and he has to be toivel in a mikveh.
Could it have been in different places than the Gartas?
Yeah, the Bali Atesis did hold like that. Many of the Bali Atesis did hold that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a body. In fact, there were many Bali Atesis burnt the Rambam's Svar because they held at that line in the Rambam's Apikursis. But the Rambam insists that Hashem is Baruch doesn't have a body. They held that that's Apikursis. It's against the Tanakh. It's against the Talmud. Avada. The Torah speaks of the various donations that were necessary for the purpose of building the Mishkan. Yosoli Migdosh, the Shachante B'Soichon. The Rambam counts this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. There's a mitzvah, the Rambam, the Ramban, there's a mitzvah, I say, to build a base on Migdosh. Rambam, in fact, quotes this pasuk, Yosoli Migdosh. The commentaries on the Rambam have a bit of a discussion why the Rambam quoted this pasuk. He should have quoted a different pasuk, because this pasuk only speaks of the Hayru Ashur, of building the Mishkan, and the Mishkan in the Midbar had a lot of things that were different from the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaLach. Like, for example, there's one very obvious thing that was different, that the Mishkan consisted of krushim, alatze shittim, of wooden boards. And the dearest the din is that you're not permitted to build any wooden structure in the Beis HaMikdash proper. The pasuk says, "Lasita lo ha'asher kaleitzeis al mizbach Hashem alakecha." And the Rambam here in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Beis HaBchira halachates is quoting from the Sifrei, and that pasuk, "Lasita lo ha'asher kaleitz." It doesn't only refer to planting an Asherah tree for the sake of Avodah Zarah. It even includes planting any tree, any Asherah, not for the sake of Avodah Zarah. And not only planting a tree, the Sifrei says it's a prohibition against building anything of wood in the Beis HaMikdash. In Boinim Boi Eitz Boilet Klal, you're not allowed to have wood. Elo Bavonim Mokel Leveinu Vesid. The Rambam says, Eino Semach Sadroi Shaletz B'chol Azor Elo Shal Avonim O Leveinu. You have to either make brick or make stone, but you're not allowed to use wood. Right? It says he never heard of such a thing. How can it be? The Lishkas Kain Gadol Shaleitzaisa. The Gemara says that the Lishkas Kain Gadol was made of wood. So the Kesef Mishnah says on the side, that he thinks that what the Ravid writes in the last two lines here on Perek Aleph Halachatos is correct even according to the Rambam. He says this prohibition only applies in the Azara and in the Hechel. But Chutz L'Azara, namely, the Ezus Noshim didn't have Kedushas Azara. It only had a Kedushas Harabai. So if it would have had Kedushas Azara, so the women would have been forbidden to sit there. The Gemara has a Dinei Yeshiva B'Azara of the Malchit Beis David Bilvat. No one's allowed to sit. Only the Melech is a descendant from Beis David. So they never were Makadosh the Ezus Noshim. It only had the status of Harabais, Kedushas Harabais. So the Ravid claims that this prohibition against building a Binyan Shaleitz doesn't apply to Harabais. Because Mishnah says Maskin. So what's the Kasha on the Rambam? The Ravid here. How can it be that the Rambam says you're not allowed to build a Binyan Shaleitz? The Ravid asks, what about the Lishkas Kain Gadol? So the Ravid himself gives the answer that it was Chutz Lazar. Lishkas Kain Gadol was in the Harabais. So he says, so that's the Teretz on the Rambam. So he doesn't understand exactly what the Ravid wanted over here. The other Kasha the Ravid asks also. He says, Simchas Beis HaShoeva Makifin Kol Azor Gzus Troi Shaleitz. So the Ravid asks Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Mishnah says in Sukkah that they had wooden balconies that they constructed. So one day, Orach HaShulchan points out that if you look in the Yerushalmi, the Ravid himself quotes this Yerushalmi in the end of Hilchas Chagiga. The Ravid quotes part of the Yerushalmi. The very last Rambam and Ravid in Hilchas Chagiga discuss making wooden structures in the Azara. So that Yerushalmi says it's only permissible Aroi, if it's only a temporary structure. It's going to be a permanent structure, you're not allowed. So the Orach HaShulchan says maybe that's the teretz to this Ravid Kasha. How do they make the gzustro, the gzustros for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So he says, maybe the Teretz is that was only temporary, that was only there for the 8 days of Sukkot.
They didn't leave it all year long. Maybe that's not a kasha. What's really difficult is the psukim in the Haftarah. In the Haftarah it says beferish, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, it was all lined with wood on the inside. Beferish like that. And the Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Basra, we learned it last year, when Hurd is built the Bayis Sheni, so the Gemara says he had layers of wood all over the place. The way the Rambam quotes this din from the Sifrei, Vasitim of Hashem Kaleit, Zayt from Mizbah Hashem of Akecho, and even the Rabbit seems to agree. The Rabbit doesn't disagree. The Rabbit just restricts it that it only applies to the Azara, and to the Hefel it doesn't apply in the Harabais. Fine. But here it says in the Beis HaMikdash proper they had wood in the walls. This is Gora Pella. What do you do with the Haftarah? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Mistome, there's a strange lashon in the Rambam that nobody picks up on, and no one explains what it means. In Boinim Boi, Eitz Bolei Klal. What kind of a lashon is Eitz Bolei? He's not sure what that word means. In Boinim Boi, Binyan Shel Eitz. What is the phrase Eitz Bolei? So he thinks that what it means is, if the whole binyan is made of wood, if you have a room that's all made of wood, you have a Gzus to Shel Eitz, the balconies that are all made of wood. But if you include, let's say you have a wall over here. The wall doesn't look so pretty, a plaster wall. So you put wood to panel the wall. That's what Shlomo HaMelech did. It says in Haftarah, this week's Haftarah, Shlomo HaMelech paneled the wall with wooden lining to beautify it. So he says, but not that the whole structure was made from wood, so the stone that would be mutter. That's why the Rambam uses the expression Eitz Bolei. You're not going to make an Eitz Bolei, it means a binyan that's through and through Eitz. But if it's only Eitz part of the binyan, he thinks that that's not a prohibition. So again, Lendairis, there's a din that you're not only not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash from wood, you're not even allowed to have any of the rooms made of wood. And in the Mishkan, the whole thing was made from wood. The whole essence of the Mishkan was the crushing. So how could that be? So the answer is the Mishkan was clearly a Hirasha. That's what Avogel Soloveitchik points out in his Sefer HaChumash. Hakam in Parshas Tetzaveh, it says the verb tzivui, and the Truma never says the Lashon tzivui. The same in Vayakal Pikude. Hakam in Pikude, it says, I think, 13 times. The Lashon kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe. And Vayakal, it never says kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe. So he says, because tzivui, the tzave, kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe, only applies by a mitzvah hanu heges l'doiris. Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvahs, in the Sharoshim, that you only include into the minyan of the Tayyar Mitzvah, a mitzvah hanayegas l'doiris. Whatever is only harasha doesn't qualify. That's called the Dvar Nevuah, and it's not called the Dvar Mitzvah. Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Tzav writes like that. And Lashon Tzav, Lashon Ziv is miyad l'doiris, a mitzvah hanayegas l'doiris. If it's only harasha, it's not called a mitzvah. So that's why in Parashas Truma there are descriptions of things that are purely harasha. So that's why the Lashon, and the same by Yaakov is a repeat of Truma. So that's why Rav Avola says that's why he can't use the expression kasha tziva. But in Pikudi, when it speaks of the Big Day Kuna, and in Pitzaba, and in Pikudi, when it speaks of the Big Day Kuna, that's speaking of things that are noeg l'doiris. So there, the Lashon Tzivur, Lashon Pitzaba, fits in and has a place over there. So really, this mitzvah building the Mishkan was purely a Hirasha. The Asuri Mikdash was the Tzivur to make the Mishkan, so that's the question that the Nisei Kelim asked on the Rambam. Why does he quote this pasuk? This was a Hirasha, the details. True, the essence of the mitzvah to build the Mishkan was a mitzvah l'doiris, but the details were Hayuasha. So why does the Rambam quote this pasuk? He could have quoted a better pasuk. The pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, the Parashas Re'ei, where it says, L'shif nesidu shuv v'as ha-shama. It says everybody should get together. It's called Achas Mishivtechem. You should get together in one place and build a Beis HaMikdash. Amokam Shivtcha Hashem, Kol Shivtech, V'as ha-mishma ha-shama. So quote that pasuk, that's what they point out. The Smag quotes that pasuk. The Smag, when he lists off the minyan mitzvah, quotes the pasuk from Parshas Re'ei. So how come the Rambam quoted this pasuk? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he doesn't really see what Shver. He suggests, Al Pi Pashtus, that the Rambam really means the end of the pasuk. The also in Migdash, V'shachan to the Sechem, etc., etc., Kosh, and Imar, Oscha, Yitzhaj, Meshkan, V'chein Tasu. So Rashi quotes from the Chazal, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara in Shavuos, V'chein Tasu L'dairis. So the Rambam didn't necessarily mean the first phrase, Yosele Migdosh. That's what he calls Yosele Migdosh. He meant that whole two psukim, Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes. Bar Mindain, what's the kasha? The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, you have a lot of times, Kefal Alav, Kefal HaEssei, the Gemara has a lashon that if a Kohen doesn't duchen, if a Kohen is called upon and he doesn't duchen, so he's over on three essen. Tosef Baruch is B'nai Yisrael, Amar Lahem, V'sam Hashmiel B'nai Yisrael. So he's over on 3 Essen. A person doesn't like Tilman, he's over on 4 Essen. A person, whatever, all the different mitzvahs the Gemara has, over on so many Essen. So the Rambam says, whenever you have a kefil on mitzvah, you don't count it many times. Same thing, a kefil on lav or a kefil mitzvah says it. The Rambam in Shoresh Tes writes, you don't count it many times, it's just a repeat. So the same over here, what's the difference when he called this pasuk, that pasuk? There were aspects of the Mishkan and the Midbar that were purely harasha. But the basic mitzvah of Yosef and Mikdash was the basic mitzvah of Deris. With slight modification based on the harasha. It's not a kasha. The Rambam himself in Hilchas Malachim, that's what the Rosh Hashulchan points out. The Rambam himself in Hilchas Malachim quotes the other pasuk as well. The Rosh Hashulchan points out that this is a famous comment, what the Kesem Mishnah picked on the Rambam, the first page. Perakalaf Halacha Aleph, the first page in the Rambam, who was based on here. Kesem Mishnah is picking on the Rambam why he didn't do the same as the Snag. Why did he quote a different pasuk from the pasuk? The Snag's pasuk is better. Snag quotes the pasuk of the Sheikh Nesirusha, which is going to Doris. So the Rosh Hashulchan points out the Rambam quotes that also. The Snag, he's just quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. It's a different thing. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf says that there are 3 mitzvahs that have to be fulfilled in a specific order. First, Gimel mitzvahs, Niftari Sol Bechnisasim La'or, it's first, Lahamed Lahem Melech, then Lahakar Zarashal Amalek, then Nivles Lahem Beis Abkhira. That's what the Rambam quotes in the beginning of Hilchas Melech, and that's what the Smag is quoting, that the Kesem Mishnah quotes at the exact same time. He's not proving that there exists a mitzvah Nivles Beis Abkhira. He's proving that the obligation only comes after you have Shalom in Eretz Yisrael. After Amalek is wiped out. That's why David HaMelech was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. He had already wiped out all of the enemies. He already succeeded in everything. So he said, okay. How does the pasuk say it? V'inech l'cham kol agach misav goratz asher asher kartan sochal l'rishto. Then it says you build a Beis HaMikdash. After all the enemies are wiped out. So David HaMelech said, okay, I wiped out all the enemies. I want to build a Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Hashem said, you just wiped out the enemies yesterday. Give a chance, calm down, wait a while. Wait till your son will be the king, in his time it will be total peace. He will start his kingdom with total peace. The Rambam doesn't want a king who had to fight so much, and then after he succeeded in winning all the battles, then he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash. He wants, Ki'aniach l'cham mikol agach misavid ba'aretz, then you build a Beis HaMikdash when it's absolutely peace. So that's the reason why the Smag quoted that pasuk. This is verbatim, what the Gemara quoted that pasuk. The Rambam quotes that pasuk also when he's bringing out that point in Hilchas Melachim. But over here, when the Rambam is just listing off the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, what's the difference when he quotes this pasuk? And may as well quote the earlier pasuk, the Yosef HaMikdash. True, there were Hayra Shor here in the Mishkan that were very different, but the basic mitzvah is the same as the mitzvah of Darius.
According to the Rambam, it's over. It's the Rambam, when the
No, if you have a Molech and you have to wage war with them or with any other enemies, then there's no chiyuv to build a Beis HaMikdash till there's total peace. If you don't have any Molech, then there's no problem.
But there was a Molech now also. Like, how could the Bais Rishon be built if the Molech is still in the world?
Well, the Bais Rishon, they waged the war against the Molech. Shaul HaMelech waged the war against the Molech, and then just Agag remained behind. He killed that Agag, and Molech was taken care of. And then Mikol Agach Misavid Baruch was taken care of by David HaMelech later. Amalek was still lurking around somewhere, but wasn't posing a threat to Bnei Yisrael. So that's considered, we had satisfied that condition. Now there's no peace at all in Eretz Yisrael. So now there's certainly no obligation to build Beis HaMikdash. And then after Melchemet Shesh HaTayamim, so there was discussion that maybe they should have an obligation to build a Mizbeach and to bring Korban. So Rav Sol Vaychik thought that not at all, that there was no peace at all. Now there's certainly no peace in Eretz Yisrael. So there's certainly no obligation to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Chiyuv only comes, Ki Anech Lecha Mikol Agach Misavi Boaretz. Then you have the obligation.
Is there still be from building the Mizbeach and building Beis
HaMikdash? I don't think so. The Pashto says that it goes together. Possibility, but I think the Pashto... Yeah, the Bayesheni was purely Hoyrasha, because there wasn't even Muhammad Lahamelach. There wasn't a Jewish government in the beginning of the period of the Bayesheni until the days of the Hashmonaim, several hundred years into the Bayesheni. And the Sefer Achinach says that the mitzvah, the Yosef HaMikdash, is only Gimel mitzvah since Avisol Bechnisasim La'aretz, when you have Rav Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. and you don't have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have any of these three mitzvahs. So they ask on the Sefer HaChinuch, so how is there an obligation to build a Bayis Sheni? It clearly was not, you didn't have the Rav Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer that the Achronim give is Anach Anami. There was no Chiyuv at that time. It was only a Harasha. Here also, the building of the Mishkan and the Midbar is also a Harasha Mitamza also. It was a Harasha of a fulfillment of the Mitzvah of the Doris, but it was so different. You didn't have the Rav Yisrael, there was no Jewish government, they weren't living in Eretz Yisrael, everything was totally different. It wasn't the Makam Shivcha Hashem. Everything was very different. It was purely Harasha. But even the whole building of the Bayis Sheni was also Harasha. Because there was no Melech, and there was no Shalom, and there was nothing else. The Navi was told. The Navi, Chagai HaNavi, was told. The Eretz Yisrael Yikavda, they should build a Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem will be honored by it. That was purely, it was a Harasha fulfillment of this mitzvah of Doris. The Rambam uses different Lashonis. He calls the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim the Beis HaBchira. And the others he just calls the Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan. Beis HaBchira means, the term Bechira usually has a double meaning. When a boy gets married to a girl, so he calls her Bechira Sliboy. So what's the Bechira? So Bechira has a double connotation. This one to the exclusion of all others. And it's the Erastach Lili Olam, that he's choosing this girl for the rest of his life. So the same thing that Yerushalayim is the Makom Shivcha Hashem Mikol Shivtechem. It's a double Bechira in the sense that there's an Issa Bamis. When you have a Beis HaBchira built in Yerushalayim, there's an Issa Bamis. This is the Makom Anichi, you're not allowed to bring Karbonis anywhere else in the world. And number two, that ain't Achrei HaHeter. That once the Beis HaMikdash is built in Yerushalayim, there's never going to be any other place, not only contemporary, but even the Bechira is Le'yadim. There'll never be any other place to build, to bring Karbonis. Shiloh was only a temporary Bechira. If you look there in Parshas Re'eh, so it says twice the same mitzvah, building a Beis HaBchira and building a Beis HaBchira. And then there's a Hafsok in between. So Rashi writes on Chumash, on Parshas Re'eh, Liten Heter Bein Shiloh LeBeis HaLamim. The first parasha in Re'eh is speaking about the Beis HaBchira that was in Mishkan Shiloh. And the second parasha is speaking about the real Makoy, the real Beis HaBchira in Yerushalayim. They refer to the Pasuk Kilei Vasam Arata El HaMnucha Vel HaNachlo. El HaMnucha, Rashi quotes from the Mishnah in the end, the last parak in Zvot, the Menucha is Shiloh, and the Nachla is Yerushalayim. Nachla means Ein La Hefzik Olamis. That's a din in Yesh Noichlin. The Gemara says that Nachla in Yerushalayim means Ein La Hefzik Olamis. Yerushalayim had the double aspect of Bechira. There was a Bechira to the exclusion of all others. There was an Issa Bamis. During the period of Nova Givon, or when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, there was no Issa Bamis. There was a Heta Bamis. But when they had the Mishkan Shiloh, when they had the Beis HaLamim, there was an Issa Bamis. So both, there was Bechira both during the period of Shiloh and during the period of Yerushalayim. But Liten Heter Beinayan, there was a difference between the two, that Shiloh only had a partial Bechira, and meant there was an Issa Bamis. This went to the exclusion of all others, but it wasn't the Bechira Olamis, whereas Beis HaLamim in Yerushalayim, so it's from the Chas Adiyad, Poesha TVC, the Pesukim indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim, with a double Bechira, both Bechiras, that Ein Achrei HaHeter. That's why the Mishnah in Zvachim draws the distinction, that the Mishkan in the Midbar, was not a binyan shalavanim, it wasn't kavua. They were always traveling in the Midbar, even though Rashi makes a whole calculation that they stayed in the same place for almost all the 40 years. All the traveling and all the membeis masos, all the 42 spots where they traveled, that was all within a very short span of time. And for the longest period, over 30 years, I think Rashi makes a calculation, Mishkan was in the same place. But still, they didn't know that in advance. So the Mishkan was a very temporary thing. So that's why the Mishkan was wooden planks, and Urias. And the Mishkan in Shiloh, the Mishnah says, was partially kavua. It was a binyan shalavanim el mato. It had stones that were attached to the ground, the chubala karka, and the Urias milamayla. And Yerushalayim, the Beis HaLamim, the whole thing was stone, to indicate permanence. The Mishkan Shiloh was more kavua than the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, partially kavua. And the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was fully kavua. That's why the Rambam calls it Hilchos Beis HaBchira. Beis HaBchira means the connotation of more kavua. That's an interesting question that the Aruch HaShulchan points out. Aruch HaShulchan Ha'asim has a whole section on every section in the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBchira. So he talks about these topics. He points out, what does it mean that in the Mishkan Shiloh they used, it was a binyan shalavonim milomato. It means that they didn't use the crushing of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what about the Urias on top? Also not. They made new Urias. It wasn't the same old Urias. So he says he's bothered with the question, after Shiloh was destroyed, the Shiloh lasted, the Rambam points out, Shiloh lasted for 300 and whatever, 369 years. 69 years. And then after Shiloh was destroyed, that's when Eli died. And we heard the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. So after Shiloh was destroyed, so then they went, they put the Bamid Goyle in Nov, and then when Shaul destroyed Nov Yerachon, and then they put it in Givon for 50-some-odd years. There was Nov Givon. So what did they use in Nov Givon? That was not Binyan Shel Avraham Melamata. So the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan points out, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, that in Nov Givon they used the exact Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made. So where was it when they had the Shiva? So he says he gets the impression that they were told Al Pinavi, obviously everything was Al Pinavi, but they were told Al Pinavi that Shiloh has to have partial permanence. The Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu was totally temporary. The Mishkan Shiloh was partially permanent. That's called Menucha. The Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaLevim in Yerushalayim was Nachlo. That's totally permanent. So that's why in Yerushalayim they couldn't use anything of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. For the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu by its very nature was of a temporary nature. But the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, everything was stone. The walls on the bottom with the roof on top, the tikva, everything was stone. In Shiloh, where it had to be partially temporary and partially permanent, so that's what the Mishnah says, they made a compromise. It was Binyan Shel Avraham Melamata, and the Irias, he thinks, probably were the Irias of the Oil Moed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They used the same Irias. Then after Shiloh was Chorei, and they went to Nov Givon, then the Pasuk says, Divayam, they used everything for the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Melamata and the Melamayla. Everything was only temporary. They had no permanence whatsoever. Even partial permanence it didn't have at the time that they were in Nov Givon. It's interesting, actually. He doesn't have any commentaries on the Gemara. No one discusses it. No one discusses it. He thinks that that's the Pasha Pshat. But also, Aron Atzei Shittim is a question of Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, whether this counts as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah or not. The Rambam writes in the Sharoshim. The Rambam has 14 Sharoshim in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and in the second half he lists off what he considers other Ramach mitzvahs, Esim, Shasam mitzvahs, Lesesvahs. And the Sharoshim, the Rambam writes one of the Sharoshim that you don't count all of the Protei HaMitzvah as a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Let's say you bring a korban Mechatos. So the Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrike, Haktorah, Havshota, Achilas HaKorban. The Rambam says you don't count all of these as separate mitzvahs. L'hakrav Korban Chatos Kemishpata, L'hakrav Korban Oyla Kemishpata, L'hakrav Korban Shlomim Kemishpata. Each Korban the Rambam writes as a separate mitzvah. So the Rambam gives another example of this, that you don't count all the Protei HaMitzvah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Let's say the Lama Tes Melachos of Shabbos, you only count that as one mitzvah, not to do Chilul Shabbos. You don't count each one of the Lama Tes Melachos independently. So the Ram gives another dogma regarding the Yosel Mikdash in the Sharoshim, Sharosh Yud Beis. The Ram gives this. The Yosel Mikdash, you don't count making the Shulchan, making the Menorah, making the Kiyah, making the Mizbeach, and so on. The Ram says everything is part of the mitzvah making the Beis HaMikdash. That's why you asked before whether the Gemara says the mitzvah building Beis HaMikdash only begins after Mechias HaMolech. So what about the mitzvah making the Mizbeach? So according to the Rambam, the making Mizbeach is just part of the Aron, the Mizbeach, everything is all part of that one big mitzvah, the Pratim, Pirtei HaMitzvah of Asiyas HaMikdash. So I think probably would be governed with the same rule, that before you have Mechias HaMolech, there's neither a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash nor the mitzvah to build any part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. Ramban thinks, according to the Rambam, why are these chalokim echelkei hamitzvah, why are these protim epirkei hamitzvah? Because these are klei hamikdash. There are two kinds of kelim, the Poskim point out. There are two kinds of kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. There are klei shoreis. There were knives that were klei shoreis and containers that were klei shoreis. That's not part of the mitzvah of Yosel HaMikdash. But to build a house with the furniture in it, so that's one big mitzvah. So these are klei hamikdash. They had mekamis mesuyam in a specific, like furniture, has a special place where you need the furniture. So the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach and the Kiyor, all of these things were Chalok and Mechelkei HaMitzvah. That's how the Rambam writes. Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says he's masking with the Rambam that it doesn't make sense to count the mitzvah to make a Menorah because the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. So Asiyas HaMenorah is a Hechsher mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. So you don't have to count Asiyas HaMenorah. The Rambam counts Hadlokas. The Rambam doesn't have to count Asiyas HaMizbeach. Without a Mizbeach, he can't be Makruv Karbanos, and he already counted the mitzvah to be Makruv Karbanos. So Asiyas HaMizbeach is a Hechsher. Same thing the Shulchan, the Rambam doesn't have to count. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam. You don't have to count Asiyas HaShulchan as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, because the Rambam already counted the mitzvah of Lechem Atonim every week to bring Lechem Atonim. So mainly you need a Shulchan in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Atonim. Making a kir, you don't have to count, not because it's a chelik mechelik mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash. Says it's not true. Among times it's not true that Allah is makriv and ahol kishen bayis. Allah is, even if there's no structure, even if there's no building of the Beis HaMikdash, as long as you have the kelim, you can be makriv the korbanos. The Ramban times, how can you say that these are chalokim mechelke ha-mitzvah of overall the major mitzvah is to have a Beis HaMikdash with all of its furniture? Tainus, how can you say that? If the whole Beis HaMikdash is not miyakev, if you have the kiyor and the shulchan and the menorah, you can go ahead and do the avodah even without the big structure of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. How can you say that these are halokim from that mitzvah if they're independent? If you can have this functioning without the building? So does not show that the mitzvah of building the structure of the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, that's the Ramban's time. But he's masking with the Rambam that it doesn't make sense to count each one of these as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, because each one is a Heksha mitzvah to the mitzvah that follows. The Asiyas HaKiyor is a Heksha mitzvah for Kiddush Adayim Rav Lain. So we counted Kiddush Adayim Rav Lain as a mitzvah. And Asiyas HaMizbeach is a Heksha mitzvah for HaKrobos Kol HaKamonos. We counted. The one mitzvah that stands out is Asiyas HaOrai. Asiyas HaOrai. Because with the Oran, there's no mitzvah to do any Avodah later on. With the Mizbeach, you do HaKrobos Kol HaKamonos. With the Mizbeach HaPnimi, you do HaKtoros HaKtoros. The Rambam counted the mitzvah to bring Ktoros. With the shulchan, you do lechem aponim. With the menorah, you do hadlokas ha-menorah. Every one of the klei hamikdash has its mitzvah, except for the yaron. There's nothing to do. So the Ramban says you should count the mitzvah of asiyas ha-aron as a separate mitzvah. That deserves to be counted as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam says why he disagrees. The Rambam holds not true that these are all proper mitzvah mitzvahs. It's all halokim of the mitzvah of asiyas based on the English. True, the din is that that makriv and afal pishein bayis. These are details because kitcha lasi lavoi. Because the makam is mukudish lasi lavoi, even if the structure is not there. But still, the mitzvah to have all of the klei hamikdash, to have the furnishings in the apartment, in the building, is all chalokim of the mitzvah, yosali mikdash. Megillas Esther wants to answer the Rambam. It's very unclear. What does he have to answer? The Rambam gave the explanation. The Rambam said that he won't drop any pirtei mitzvah. I'm sure he should face him. Megillas Esther wants to say, usually Megillas Esther comes to defend the Rambam. He stands on his head to defend the Rambam. Even when the Rambam is very shvet, like on the bottom of the Rambam, you have a chazaka, you have the migdalois, he always defends the Rambam. Whatever. The Ravid says the Rambam is against the Rabbanu Shel Olam, against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the migdalois will say, no, the Rambam is always right. He always defends the Rambam. So that's why the Mashal writes in the Tshuvas that the migdalois was over on Baltashkis on the paper. Mamish Abizbu's paper, he doesn't say anything, he never says anything. There's one Migdalois, the Rav Shimishkop has a whole, so maybe the whole Migdalois was worth it. And the Shari Yosher, Rav Shimon has one shtick of Migdalois that he builds a whole on. And they have a Knining going free, B'shem B'yayim, with a Gemardin, with Tfisa, he has a whole shtick of Torah based on a Migdalois. So one Migdalois has something. Usually he never has anything special. So the Migdalois Esther is also like that very often. He just defends the Rambam. A lot of times he says things that is very strange. And you're also, what did the Rambam need to defend? The Rambam gave a good explanation. So the Migdalois comes, the Megillas Esther over here throws in a comment to bap the Ramban on the head. The Rambam is defended. The Rambam said what he holds. Halok and Mechel Kamitz. He has a tiny, a counterattack, maybe it is. A counterattack against the Ramban. How can you count the Osu Arona, say Shikun, as a mitzvah l'dayrois if they never made another Aron? If the Aron that was in the Aron that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu was the Aron that was used for the whole period of the Bayis Rishon, it was used in Neuve Given and Shiloh, and Beis Solomon was the same Aron, and then it was never taken into captivity. The Gemara has different suggestions, and we assume Maskanas HaGemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet is, and that's how the Rambam quotes it, that Yoshiyahu HaMelech was going as the Aron in the special vault beneath the ground, and the enemy never took it. Maybe they took other Kalim with them to Babel, but the Aron was there the whole period of the Bayis Sheni. And it's going to be that same Aron that we're going to use Lasi Lavoi. So the Megillas Esther claims that maybe it doesn't deserve the sort of a counterattack against the Ramban. The Rambam doesn't need any defense. The Rambam gave his explanation why he feels that you don't count any of these as mitzvahs. They're all chalak and mechelki mitzvah of Yosu Le Migdash. But Megillas Esther suggests that an independent svara, a counterattack against the Ramban. How can you count as a mitzvah to make an Aron? It's not a mitzvah hanoheges l'doros. We will never be building another Aron. We'll never build another Aron. So in that notion that the Megillas Esther brings up, Hashulchan here in the opening section of the Hilchos Beis HaBchira opposes Akasha. But the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash does count as one of the mitzvahs l'doros that you should make Shemen HaMishchan. You should make Shemen HaMishchan and have it around to use it for whenever it's necessary. To anoint the Melech HaMashiach. Shaila, whether the Melech HaMashiach is going to need Mashiach the Shemen HaMishchan. Because the Gemara says, I think the Menachas Chinuch raises this topic, because the Gemara says in Krisis that whenever he's getting the Yerusha, whenever he gets the, you only use Shemen HaMishchan when you begin Malchus. Or when there's a Machloikis. But when there's no Machloikis, and the Melech is not the first one who's starting the dynasty, he's getting it the Yerusha from his father, whatever, so then there's no need for Shemen HaMishchan. So that's it. When Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be a Machloikis, who's Mashiach? Or will it be Muskim, who's Mashiach? So if there'll be a Machloikis, the Gemara says, "Mepnei ha-machloikis will have to do Mashiach b'shem and Mishra." If there won't be a machloikis, if everybody will vote that this is the guy, if everybody will be masking, this is the Melech HaMashiach, so then he gets it to Yerusha. But the question is, we have skipped a few generations. So his father wasn't the Melech HaMashiach, and his father wasn't the Melech. His father wasn't a functioning Melech. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch is Mesupik. When the Gemara says, when the Melech gets the Malchus b'Yerusha and there's no machloikis, then you don't need Mashiach. He gets a Beirusha from his father immediately preceding him. He just takes it over. He dies, and then I take over. So then I don't need Mashiach l'shem and HaMishcha, or even if I take it over 3,500 years later. He's not sure whether the Melech HaMashiach is going to need Mashiach l'shem and HaMishcha, and that's why he's known as the Melech HaMashiach. Oh no, he has a built-in Mashiach. He arshes the status of Mashiach l'shem and HaMishcha from his Elter Zeta from 3,000 years ago. I'm not sure. Anyway, so the Rambam counts as one of the mitzvahs l'doros that you should make Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara, the Aruch HaShulchan is bothered with the Kasha. The Gemara says in Krisis, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yizeh Li L'doros Seichem has the connotation of Zeh is the gematria of Yud Beis. That's how the Gemara says that gematria. Zeh is the gematria of 12. So the 12 lugim of the Shemen HaMishcha, even though they used it for generations and generations, was never nismayed. It never diminished, and it was fully intact, and the whole thing is going to be kayam lasid lavar. That's how it says in the Gemara in Krisis. So there never will be the need to make any more Shemen HaMishcha. We were promised by the Ribbono Shel Olam that an es is going to occur. So if the Megillah says to his right that we cannot possibly, the Ramban, in his counterattack against the Ramban, that you cannot possibly count the Yosu, Aron Atzei Shitim is a mitzvah, L'doros, because there was only one Aron. It'll never be repeated, so that's called the Hayrashah. That's not called the mitzvah Hanaheges L'doros. So then the Kashi, so why did the Rambam count Asiya Hashem and HaMishcha as a mitzvah L'doros? So he tries to give a teretz on this. That the Aron al Pidin, there cannot be another Aron. Al Pidin, there cannot be another Aron. And even if the Aron will disappear, we won't be allowed to make another Aron. So it better not disappear, we're going to be in big trouble. The Shemen HaMishcha, we were promised that it won't disappear. If it disappears, we'll make again Shemen HaMishcha. I don't know exactly what that means. What do you mean? If the Aron disappears, we won't be allowed to make another Aron? So what are we going to do? So the answer is, we were promised it's not going to disappear. So we were promised on the Shemen HaMishcha also. So the answer is, that's an agarta. The Shemen HaMishcha is an agarta. Maybe this is also an agarta. I mean, how does he know to take this more seriously than that? I don't know. Anyway, and the Rambam is not a kasha. The Rambam didn't say that that's the reason why you don't cast. Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan takes it that the Megillas Esther's comment is the yishuv on the Rambam. Rambam didn't need any yishuv why he doesn't want to count Aron. The Rambam said, he says this is a prat mipirtei ha-mitzvah. It's a chelek of the mitzvah liyosu le-migdash. The comment on the Megillas Esther is sort of like a counterattack against the Ramban. And even if one may, Chalila v'Chalila, think maybe the Ramban is right, he's wrong. Why is he wrong? Because it's only a Hayrashah. So how does he ask Akasha? So the Hayrashah has Akasha. This is the reason for the Ramban, because it's a Hayrashah. So why does the Ramban count the mitzvah to make Shemen HaMishcha? The question is, what are we going to use the Shemen HaMishcha for? In the Baal Shem, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. So why is it called, why does it, why does it qualify to be counted as a mitzvah? Because the Lassi Lava is going to pop back again. It's going to be used then. What are we going to use it for? When you make Kalim for the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara learns that in Sanhedrin in the first page, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that the Kalim, Shkola Kalim Shasta Moshe, Mishichasa Mikat Shasta. Only the Kalim that Moshe Rabbeinu made became Kodesh Mikdushas Klishoris Aidei Mishicha B'Shem Yom Mishcha. Mekan Yelech, it's not so, it's Avigdosa Mechan Chasa. The Doris, there is no such din. Not only in the Bayi Sheni when the Shem Yom Mishcha was Nignas, didn't they do Mashiach? Even in the Bais Vishon, when they were using the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint the Kohan and Gedoyla. But they never used the Shemen HaMishcha for the Kelim, because it was Abedos and Machan Chasim. So what are you going to use the Shemen HaMishcha for? Lassi Lava, not for the Kelim, and not for the Melech HaMashiach, possibly, according to the Minchas Chinuch, maybe the Melech HaMashiach won't need Mashiach. But they'll need the Mashiach, they'll need the Shemen HaMishcha for the Kohan and Gedoyla. Okay. They'll need the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint Kohan and Gedoyla. You're only supposed to have Merubah Begadim when you don't have Shemen HaMishcha. It's preferable to have, it's a mitzvah that I'm over to use the Shemen HaMishcha. So that's why the Rambam counts that as a mitzvah Hanu Heges L'Doris, to make Shemen HaMishcha in order to use it for the purposes that it's used for. What purposes will be left lost in Lava? Only to anoint the Kohanim Gedolim. What was the idea behind having these? I think he counts all, the whole thing is counted as one mitzvah. I don't think he counts as a separate independent mitzvah to do Mashiach b'Shem and HaMishcha. I think he counts to make Shem and HaMishcha and to use it. See, by all the others, the Ramban says you counted already to bring Lechem HaPanim. So there's no reason that you should have to count Asiyas HaShulchan. You counted already to bring Ktoris. There's no need to count the mitzvah to make a Mizbach HaKtoris. But over here there is no other, I don't think there is another mitzvah to use the Shemen HaMishcha or Kim Mitzvah. So this is the mitzvah. To make Shemen HaMishcha and to use it whenever it will be necessary. I think this is the mitzvah. What are the Kruvim all about? The Kruvim were human figures. If you make Kruvim anywhere else outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it will be a violation of the Yisr of Losas and Iti. You're not allowed to make, man was created B'Tzelem Elokim. So that passage, Losas and Iti, includes a prohibition to make a human figure. So anywhere else you make kruvim is an isa deraisa. In the Beis HaMikdash, that's a special thing, you have to make kruvim. What were the two kruvim representative of? So the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim says that the kruvim were hugging each other, kimar ish b'lev yosa, like a husband hugs his wife. Kimar ish b'lev yosa. That's the pasuk that the Chasam Sofer dug up to explain the Nusach HaBracha. Shekedushanu b'mitzayis v'tzibonu alhu aroyos. In the Birchas Erisin, so the Russian Ksubis is bothered with Akasha. Why do you say a bracha on a lois essay? Since when do you say bracha on not violating Shekirshanam and the Sos of Itzivanam al Harayas, not to violate the Yisra of Gili Arai? So the Rosh has a whole explanation. He says it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's Birchas Shevach Lohidor, so he's speaking about Jewish marriage, and he mentioned that everything by us is different from non-Jewish marriage. A bracha on the whole institution of marriage, not so much on the Mitzvah of Arayas, the Chalois essay, it's a bracha on the Chalois. So the Chasam Sofer suggests maybe Kedushan of the Mitzvahs of Tzivan of Al-Arayas, the word Arayas doesn't come from the term Gilei Arayas, where it comes from? Ma'arish Bilav Yosef. It's a mitzvah for the husband to hug his wife. It's a little humorous. It's good for the Sherev Brach, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. That's the pshat. But the Pasuk does describe that the Kruvim were hugging each other, Ma'arish Bilav Yosef, like a husband hugs his wife. So what does it mean? So the Chachamim understand that the Kruvim represent the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, like the love between a husband and a wife. That's how the Tanakh always describes the whole Shir HaShirim. It's an allegory of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael as being described as the relationship between a husband and a wife. And it had something the Miyuchah to do with the Mishkan. The Yom Chasunos of Yom Simchas Libos and the Mishnah in the end of Tainis. Comments on that pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that's alluding to the Yom Asiyas HaMishkan. Why was the Asiyas HaMishkan considered that this, as if that's the chuppah, that was the nisuin? So the stammer the pshat is, I think the pshat is that chuppah means an arusa is an eshes yishalo b'deis habal, a nisua is an eshes yishalo b'deis habal. So So chuppah consists of hachnasa l'rishusa. Erisim is a kinyan. Barisha niknis. Erisim is accomplished in the kesef shtar abriyah. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Kiddushin, describes these three forms, the kesef shtar abriyah, three forms of kinyanim. That's barisha niknis. It's a kinyan ishus. Hashenike nisuin is not a kinyan. Nisuin is a hachnasa l'rishusa. That's why there's so many different opinions in Rishonim. What does it exactly consist of? What is the nisuin? And there is no kesef is a kinyan kesef. We know kolot harkula. Shtar is a very delineated kinyan. No shtar exists kolot harkula. Bia is also a kinyan. Bia is a specific. The ma'is and nisuin bia. Nisuin is that there's nothing specific. Standing under the canopy, going into the yichud room. So all the different opinions. When the chasm takes a hug after the whole party is all over. All the different opinions all boil down to the same thing, the different forms of hachnasa l'rishusai. So nisuin really consists of hachnasa l'rishusai, that the wife should, the woman who's already an esh yisish, a lot of beis habal should be considered an esh yisish for beis habal. So this relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to one of marriage. So that's why the Rebbe Shalom wanted to make it like nisuin. So he had to have a beis Hashem, so he asked them to build him a beis hamikdash, a mishkan, and that's Beis Hashem. So when the Bnei Yisrael entered into the Mishkan, that was the chuppah, that was the hachnasa l'rishusa, that was like the yichud. They entered into Beis Hashem. That's the hachnasa l'rishusa. So that's why the kruvim was specifically housed in the Beis Hamikdash. It wasn't the mitzvah to have them somewhere else, because the kruvim represent kima arish v'lev yosa, like a husband hugging his wife. That's after the nisuin, after everything he doesn't hug his wife. She's still living with her parents, and he's still living with his parents. But after the nisuin, then they're hugging each other. So that's why this physical representation, this kruvim symbol, was placed in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara in Bava Basra discusses what seems to be an apparent contradiction between the psukim in Tanakh, in different places in Tanakh, exactly what direction were the kruvim facing. So one place it says the kruvim were facing Pnei Mishalachiv, they were facing each other. The other pasuk says, "Afnehem laboyis." Sounds like they had back to back. They were looking at the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. They weren't facing each other. So the Gemara has a machlokes tanoim. How are you miyashiv this apparent steer between the two psukim? So one Tana says that kamizman sheisalos mitzvah shamachim, kamizman sheini salos mitzvah shamachim. But as much as mitzvah shamachim, then there's a very loving relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. So the two kruvim would be facing each other. They were made from gold. Usually gold doesn't move around like this. But everything in the Beis Hamikdash was an S. So this time it says this was an ongoing S. If you can tell whether the Rebbeinu Shlomo was angry at Bnei Yisrael or was happy, he was living in peace with Bnei Yisrael. But his man, she saw us in the Tzonosh HaMokom, so they were hugging each other. Kemari Shvilev Yosef, Pnei Mishalachi. His man, she saw us in the Tzonosh HaMokom, and they were doing our various. So Rebbeinu Shlomo was angry at them. So each one was looking in a different direction. Each one was looking in a different direction. And then the other Tana says, no. The Ritva has a comment based on that. The Gemara says in Yuma that when Titus came in to destroy the second Beis Hamikdash, so he stabbed his sword into the Paroiches, and it started to bleed. He thought that he killed Kesavah Shaharagasatz, he thought he killed the Rebbeinu Shlom, the Rebbeinu Shlom, Jewish God is bleeding. Then he went in further, so he saw the kruvim were hugging each other. So he said, hey, this is the Jewish religion, full of sex, men and women hugging each other. So he said, and then he was mezana with a zayin on the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Ritva and Yume asked, why were they hugging each other? If the Rebbeinu Shlom caused the base Hamikdash to be destroyed, obviously the zayin is in the son of Shammachim. So how come they're hugging each other? They should have been very angry at each other. The kruvim should have been back to back, rather than hugging each other. Urim zedazim. So the Ritva says the whole thing is an S, obviously, to demonstrate whether the Rebbeinu Shlom is happy with Esau or not. So the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want Titus HaRasha to realize that the Rebbeinu Shlom is angry at us. He wanted to show Titus that he still loves us more than he loves them. It's still a tremendous chibah. Even when he's angry at us, he still loves us. The Rebbeinu Shlom made that nes, bedakti b'shas akurbin. Up until Titus walked in, he says, Mistama the Kruvim were not facing each other. But when the enemy came in, so the Rebbeinu Shlom said he has to act like a lovey-dovey with Bnei Yisrael. So he caused the nes to occur that they were again hugging each other. But that's one Tana says like that, the Gemara in Bava Basra. The other Tana says, no, he doesn't believe that the Kruvim kept on switching back and forth, when Bizman Shin Sarah Mitsan Shalakum, they were facing each other and hugging each other, Zan Shay Mitsan Shalakum, they're not facing each other. He has no source for this. He thinks that it was always Mitsara that's Dude. They were sort of it was a little bit Pnei Mishalachim and a little bit Pnei Labais. A little bit. What does that mean? What is that supposed to represent? What is the machloikis satanoim all about? So Rav Chaim Volozhin founded a yeshiva. So he was always in the whole Nefesh HaChaim, was all about learning Torah, everything about learning Torah, all of his svarim. He always talks about learning, like the Netziv later on, always thought everything, the whole Tanakh is talking about learning Torah, nothing else discussed, but only learning Torah. So Rav Chaim Volozhin suggests that this machloikis satanoim is l'shitosom, that the machloikis satanoim and brachas on Daf Lamed Hei in the day is about learning Torah. That we spoke about the other day, about the Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zeh. So one time is of the opinion, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion, Rav Yisrael Bar Yonah Lalor is supposed to be taken literally. And when it says, Yosafta B'Ganecha B'Sir Rosh Chavit Zerecha, that's B'Zman She'en Yisrael Asim Mitzvah Shemachim. B'Zman She'en Yisrael Asim Mitzvah is Rav Yisrael Bar Yonah Lalor L'Zochum Malach Tanasas Adi Echirim. The Goyim will do the work for us. We won't have to lift a finger. Everybody will learn in Koylah. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion, he learned in the cave. He was sitting and learning with the cave with his son for quite a few years. So that was his perspective on the world. Everybody, the best way to envision the Jewish people is everybody sitting and learning. You have to work for a living. So he says, and that's the ideal. So that's what the Gemara meant to say. The Mitzvah that's good. That no one was really, the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael is not 100% facing Zeh b'Zeh. They're a little bit facing the Rosh Hashanah, but they're working for a living. They're engaged in other things as well. So he suggests that that's the kavanah of the machloekes satanah. But then he asks his famous kasha. So we understand there were two kruvim. One represented the Nesol, one represented the Rosh Hashanah. The chasim is the Rosh Hashanah, and the kala is Knesset Yisrael. So Nicha, I understand that the kruv that represents the Nesol is on Tzarek Tes. And that's a test of an aleph and go back, so that's where you have this machloikis satanoim. Okay, here it's a machloikis samaroim. Here it's a machloikis of Yechanan and Rabbi Loza. Machloikis not going to be facing directly the Shechina, because the Bnei Yisrael, you have to spend a little time learning, facing the Bnei Yisrael, a lot of time spending in Tzorchei HaChaim, working for a living. But the Shechina, why does the Shechina have to be Mitzvah Rav Dudei? It says that both of the Kruvim were Pnei Am Laboy. So the Bnei Yisrael should be facing the Bnei Yisrael directly. But the Bnei Yisrael is not Isaac in anything else. So why does it say that both of the Kruvim were Mitzvah Rav Dudei? So he says, no, Kimaim Hapanim Hapanim came late for Adam Lo'adam. The way we are close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how close he's going to be with us. So if we would have been Drukim, if we would have been Mewurim Zeh B'Zeh with the Shechina, then the Shechina would have shown us all these Nisim Gluyim and this Hanhaga Lamaila Min HaTeva. But because we Behechreach have to be Mitzareh Dats Duri, so the Shechina is also going to be Mitzareh Dats Duri. Hashem Tzilch Al Yad Yiminecha. That's what he has, the Arichas on that Fafi. Hashem Tzilch Al Yad Yiminecha. And the Arizal comments, just like when I wave my hand, if we would have been Mewurim Zeh B'Zeh with the Shechina, then the Shechina would have shown us all these Nisim Gluyim and this Hanhaga Lamaila Min HaTeva. But because we Behechreach have to be Mitzareh Dats Duri, so the Shechina is also going to be Mitzareh Dats Duri. Hashem Tzilch Al Yad Yiminecha. That's what he has the Arichas on that Fafi. Hashem Tzilch Al Yad Yiminecha. And the Arizal comments, just like when I wave my hand, but the shadow also waves its hand back to me. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a shadow. The Ribbono Shel Olam acts towards us the way we act towards him. So if we are Dvukim Boy, so then we will be Dovid Banu. But if we, Behechreach, have to be Hanag Ban Yinik Darachar, so we're not facing the Shechina all the time. So the Shechina will also not give us such a Hanhoga of Nisis 100%. It will also be Mitzvah Rav Dudei.
be the reason why we came into the Kershka, so the Kuvim were embracing, because since Hashem began to punish us, that we're going to be given at that point.
Could also be. Could also be. I don't know. I just said over the Ritva, could be that other Mepharshim give this suggestion. We've got to look in the Yankit. Maybe they give other suggestions.
The Kruvim
were at the Baal Shem. So how did they have the Kruvim in
the Baal
Shem? Yeah. I don't know.
I said there were no Kruvim in the Baal Shem.
Yeah. I don't know. Gotta look in the Gemara. Does the Gemara say it about Titus or about Nebuchadnezzar? I forgot, I thought it was about Titus. I don't know. Is that Gemara? I think it's also a Nun Dalet. So remember, it's somewhere on this daf, I think, on Nun Dalet. I don't know. Can't remember.
In terms of low-pass energy, what's the header for photographs?
In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber paskens that the prohibition against making a Tzura Sodom only applies if it's bolate, if it's a statue where the figures are engraved. But if it's a flat image, Mechaber paskens that is Mukha. The Minchas Chinuch wonders, not Pasuk Lasas Aniti, that's at the end of Parashas Sanor, I think. So he says he wonders why did the Mechaber write Lekula, since most of the Rishonim hold the Chumrah. When you look at that sugi in Avodah Zorah, that's in Yisro. Or Sassanit, at the end of Parshas Yisro. So the Minchas Chinuch raises that question. He says if you look through the Ran and the long places in Yom Adaf Nun Dalet and the Rambam and all the Rishonim, he says that most of the Rishonim seem to hold that there is an Isur D'oraisa, even to make a human image that's not folate, even just to make a photograph. That's why many in Europe, when they came out with photographs, many, several Sfarim were printed, that it's prohibited. And it's not a Midas Chassid, it's not a Chumrah. There are attack, most of the Rishonim hold like that. The only thing is in the Shulchan Aruch, they pass from the Hakam. It's a problem. Yeah. What do you do when the Shulchan Aruch pass from the Hakam against Rav Rishonim? Are you supposed to be Machmer or not?
You
record
the
Shulchan Aruch
for bus.
The Pashtus is like that, if the bus like the one of Dr. Belkin that they have over here. The yeshiva didn't commission anyone to make it. Somebody made it and they gave it to the yeshiva, so they were stuck with it. So there's a din, you're not allowed to have it around the house if there's a chashoda. Chashoda means and Shach and Yerideh writes it two chashodas. One chashoda is that the bechoshed that you made it. So nobody will bechoshed that I made that bus. I don't know how to do it. Some expert made it, some guy made it. So that's one chashor of the chashor that I made it. And there's another chashor of the chashor that I worshipped it. I don't think, that's a question. What about this man that no one worshipped these things. So do you still have this prohibition of chashor? So the Shach and Yerideya quotes the Maharam Lublin on the bottom of the Marsho. Maharam, Amasechus Avodizor, comments in the middle of the Tosfos that the prohibition to maintain, to keep it around the house, a human figure. The Shem Chashad applies even this man as even though there is no Chashad that people worship it, even the Goyim don't worship these kind of things. It's still awesome. But the later, many later Poskim say against the Shach, the Chachm Sodom, and many others say against the Shach. But since this man as let's say the high school office has all these trophies that they won at the basketball games or whatever, or debating teams or something like that. So the Shaila is a Devinisa Chashodah. So the Bechoshet that they made it, how can Bechoshet that they made it? But they made their own trophy. It says that they won it. Someone else made it, obviously. It was a purchase. And the Bechoshet that they worshipped it, everybody knows that no one worships that. So that's most of the later posts can disagree with that Shach and the Maharam. They hold whenever there's neither Chashodah, so then it's Mufa. That's also a din. That's losas and iti. Many things are included in losas and iti. One of the dinim is you're not permitted to make the whole yud base mazolas together. In some places they make the mazolas on the parochas, on the floor of the yeshiva. Yeah, they have it on the floor of the main building. So it's taka nisa to make it. You're not allowed to make it. Years ago, when we were students here, we never knew. It was always dirty. The floor was always dirty. Until after Dr. Belton passed away, no one ever knew what was there. And then they washed the floor and they took off the rug. And lo and behold, there was a whole simon of the zodiac. It stuck to us. You're not allowed to make it. Masasanita also includes you're not allowed to make a menorah tabnis, menorah shulchan tabnis, shulchan. The Gemara has many different levels of interpretation. And that pasuk of Masasanita. You're not allowed to make a dmus adam because man was created with tzelem elokim, so that's losasaniti. Then you have losasaniti dmus hamashon hamsham shenafanai b'amorayim in the mother ha'elyon, angels. You're not allowed to make an image of an angel. Losasin dmus hamashon hamsham shenafanai b'mother ha'tachtoim, that's the sun, the stars, and the moon, and so on. You're not allowed to make a planetarium. A Jew is not allowed to make a planetarium. And then losasaniti, you're not allowed to make dmus hamashon of the Beis Hamikdash. You're not allowed to make a shulchan the same size as the shulchan Beis Hamikdash, the menorah, and so on. So that's why the Paskim speak about, and even though the menorah was made from gold, and we're not going to make one from gold, so the Paskim in Yeridei point out, at the end of Simi Kufnin Aleph, they point out that lechatchila is a mitzvah min aluf, they make it from gold. But you don't have to make it from gold, it can be made from other metals as well. In fact, if you make it from other metals, then you don't have to make gvim, kaftar, mefroch, and meshukadim. You don't need all of that. And it doesn't have to be made mikshah from one unit. It doesn't have to be one piece of metal and you melt it in that form. You can make it from different pieces that will be screwed together. You just can't make it from grutos. You can't make tiny chips of metal and attach them together. But you can't make evorim and screw them in together. That's okay. So the Paskim say whatever would be kosher for a menorah, and the Beis Hamikdash is what you're not allowed to make for private purposes. So how do they have a lot of shuls? That's a big issue. Are they allowed to make a menorah with seven kanim? Let's say if it's only an electric menorah, they don't put any oil in it with any wicks. It's only electric. And the Beis Hamikdash, they would never use electric. They wouldn't use electric. You have to use davke shemen zayis, and this menorah that they have in the shul is not made to accommodate shemen zayis. So maybe there's no prohibition on that. That's what some will make them in Europe if it's a seven-branched menorah, but it has no accommodation for shemen zayis. It only has accommodation for electric bulb. Maybe there's no prohibition. I think most didn't like that heta, so they said you shouldn't have seven. You should only have six. So the question is, but what if there are seven? If there are rooms for seven bulbs, and you just take out the middle bulb? You just don't light it. Is there a prohibition there? Maybe it's still us, because even if you don't light it, just to have the menorah is us. Maybe once you took out the bulbs, so you can't listen. Big machlokes on that. Big machlokes. It's not an issue. If you're not allowed to make a menorah, tavnis a menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. And even though we don't make menorahs and shuls, but gvim kaptor mefrochim, since it's not made from gold anyway, so it would be kosher in the Beis Hamikdash. Even with that, you don't need gvim kaptor mefrochim. So mele the Yisra applies. If you make one from gold and you don't have kvim kaptor mefrochim, then it would be pasul in the Beis Hamikdash. Then it wouldn't be an issur to make a seven-branch candelabra in a private home or in a private shul. Yeah, but that's pretty expensive. No one's going to do that. Can yes, they can be made from other materials. Yeah. They have to be made from wood, it says. Let's say the shulchan. The shulchan was made from wood, and it was coated with gold. Pisos and zahav all around. And Sefer Melachim, it's interesting. The Ha Shulchan points out, when you look in Sefer Melachim, it says that Shlomo HaMelech made a new shulchan. He didn't use the old shulchan. He made a new shulchan. It sounds like he only made it from gold. It doesn't mention anything about wood. So one gets the mistaken impression that there was no wood. So he points out, the Ha Shulchan also points out, however, when you look in the Gemara, in the end of Chagiga, the Gemara says that the Shulchan Beis Hamikdash was gold. The Gemara talks about why the Shulchan was mekabel tumah, it should be a kli yetz asi lenachay. So the Gemara says, no, because they used to pick it up. What do you mean a kli yetz asi lenachay? So it was made from gold. So you see from the Gemara that even though the Psukim and Melachim don't mention the wood, nonetheless, it was made from wood. That's the Ikar Din, it has to be made from wood and plated with gold. Or plated with other metals, and plated with other precious metals.
I'm thinking about that. prohibited to make it on the Zanta, and it's also prohibition to create a climate dash. Out of the certain institutions which are reproducing the climate dash mass participation by exclusion.
Yeah.
Something that there is no feasibility.
I don't know, Rabban Soloveitchik told people that he thought that it was forbidden for these people to make these kelim. And others apparently thought, they say that they asked Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, they say that there's no prohibition. If you're preparing it for the Bayis HaShlishi, apparently most of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael felt that there's no prohibition. You're only not allowed to make it for your own personal or private use. So to prepare something for the Bayis HaMikdash is not an issue. Here, the Rambam writes a strange lashon in Perek Aleph and Beis Abchir Halach Yir Aleph. He started already in Halach Aleph that it's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. Halach Yir Aleph, he writes, mitzvah min amuvchor, it's a Hidur mitzvah, l'chazekis abinyin, u'l'hagbiho kifikarech atzibur, to the extent that one can afford it, if the community can afford it, shenemar, u'l'remim is Beis HaLakeinu, mefarimos amniyapim kifikarechen v'cholim al-tuch ha'osa b'zov, l'hagdol amaisab ha'reza mitzvah. The Dor HaShulchan has a comment on this. He wonders, it's a general din, hida mitzvah, and every mitzvah is a hida mitzvah. You buy a beautiful golden candelabra for Shabbos, and a beautiful candelabra for Hanukkah, and a fancy Megillah. There's a hida mitzvah in every mitzvah. So why does the Rambam specify this over here? Does he have any special kavanah? He makes a suggestion based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Beis Yosef in Yerideya quotes a story from the Talmud Yerushalmi that two Tanoim visited a certain community, I think it was Lud, and they saw that there was a shul where they, like in Borough Park, they saw the shul with chandeliers all over the place and carpets and curtains and such, and a water fountain, unbelievable. They had spent millions to make this beautiful shul. So the Tanoim made a comment, they said, what a bizbuz mamon Yisrael, they could have given the money to people who are learning in the Kerub. Aren't there people learning Torah in the Kerala? Why did they have to waste so much money? So you see from the Yerushalmi, Halacha L'maaseh, that's what the Beis Yosef quotes it. He quotes this from the Maharik, he quotes this Yerushalmi. That it's an Aveira to waste money on a shul. You just make a shul, it should be pretty. But you don't coat it with gold. You don't make chandelabras in the bathroom. You make it pretty, and that's all. But that's what the Rambam comes over here to stress, that one might think that the same is true regarding the Beis HaMikdash. That it's an avla to waste money on the Beis HaMikdash. You just make it pretty, but not exaggerate. So he writes, no. Mitzvah min amuvcha l'chazek is binyu l'hagbiro kifikarech atzibur. If the community can afford it, aye, but they could use this money for better purposes. No. If the community can afford it, they should make it a very tall building. It should be the tallest building in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Shabbos that the shul should be the tallest building in the city. But it's not proper to build another private building that's taller than the Beis HaKnesses. That's why they build all the churches on top of the mountain, because the thing is that the shul has to be on top of the mountain. And it's based on that pasuk, the Ramim is based on a Kena, the pasuk that the Rambam quotes. So the Ramim is based on a Kena, the Gemara Shabbos quotes that pasuk. Well, mefarimos amiyapim kefi kochon imichol matulcha osa bizov. If you can coat the whole Beis HaMikdash with gold, well, l'hagdol ma'isam hareza mitzvah. You shouldn't think that the Beis HaMikdash is the same as Beis HaKnesses. But the Talmud Yerushalmi says that that's a bizbuz moment, but the Rambam seems to be stressing that it's not so. And the Rambam Halacha Yir Aleph quotes the Gemara that you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash Balayla only by Yom, because it says, V'yom Hakim is HaMishkon. Shenema, V'yom Hakim is HaMishkon. V'yom Hakim is V'lo Balayla. What if you make the Menorah at night? What if you make the Shulchan at night? What if you make the Mizbeach at night? What's the din? So the Dor HaShulchan has the comment on this, because they didn't find it anywhere. It's interesting. No one discusses these topics. He thinks that it only goes on those parts that are Mechubal Lekarka. To make the Kelim Balayla, he doesn't think that there's any prohibition. And the Mizbeach will make a difference between the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Mizbeach HaChitz. And the Mizbeach HaPnimi was a Kli. The Mizbeach HaKtoros was a Kli. It was not Mechubah LeKarka. As opposed to the Mizbeach HaChitz and the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Mizbeach HaOilo that was in the Azara, that was a Mizbeach Adoma Tassali. It doesn't mean that it was made from Adoma, it was made from Avonim. Mizbeach Adonim, Mizbeach Avonim Tassali. But it was a mechuber ba'adoma, Rashi writes. Mizbech ha'adoma ta'asali should be mechuber ba'adoma. That's the Rashi at the end of Parshas Yisra. But the Mizbech ha'chitzon had to be mechuber ba'adoma. In fact, the Torah gives all of the shiurim for the Mishkan, for the Yerios, everything had a specific size in all the kelim. So the question is, how long is an amma? So there's a machlekes ha'tanoim in the end of Menachos. The Meir's opinion is an amma is an amma. An amma is six tefachim long. And Rabbi Yudah says, no, it depends. An Amma Shal Binyan is 6 Tvachim. An Amma Shal Kelim is 5 Tvachim. So it says, Achapsan Av Kimina. The Gemara in the first parak of Sukkah quotes that Machlekes and trying to be Kaveh Adin, that Mechitza or as Doifen of a Sukkah has to be 10 Tvachim tall. So the Gemara introduces that. This is quite an unusual case. Usually, whenever there's Machlekes on Meir Rav Yudah, we pass from Meir Rav Yudah, Allah for Rav Yudah. There are a few exceptions to the rule. So this is also one of the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara seems in a few places in the Ramah also they pass in Lalocha like Rav Meir over here. That even the Amo Shal Kelim was also Bas Shisha Tvachim, it was not Bas Chamisha Tvachim. But according to the Tana Rav Yudah, there's a chiluk between the Mizbech HaPanim and Mizbech HaChitzon. That the Mizbech HaChitzon was Binyan, the Mizbech HaPanim was a Kli. Mizbech HaChitzon was Mizbech Adam HaTasalim Mechuba Ba'adam. So that would have been measured with an Amo Bas Shisha Tvachim. And the Mizbech HaPanim, the Mizbech HaKferis, was a Kli, and a Rav Yudah, we have not passed like Rav Yudah, but a Kli Rav Yudah, that would be measured with an Amo Bas Chamisha Tvachim. So based on that distinction, Baruch HaShulchan writes, he thinks that the Mizbeach HaChitzon would be also to build Balayla, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi would be Mutter, because one is a Kli and one is Binyan. The whole prohibition of Ein Boinim is HaMikdash Balayla is only what's attached to the ground, only what's Mechubah LaKarka LaKar. Then the Rambam writes, Ba'oskim B'Binyan, you are engaged in the Binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, Me'alos HaShachar Yad Tzeis HaKechovim. That's the Pasuk, the Gemara quotes on the first Daf from Sochem, in the Pasuk in Ezra, I think, that we were engaged in building the Beis HaMikdash from early in the morning till Tzeis HaKechovim. That's the question, what do you mean? But you can't build Balayla, and Bein HaShmash is that Sofik Yom Sofik Laila. So how can the Rambam quote this, that you build all day long? The question, what do you do with the Pasuk? What do you do with the Pasuk? Mishnah Berurah has a little trouble with that. Mishnah Berurah wants to say that that Gemara in the first Daf from Sochim that understands that Pasuk Kipshuto must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that Bein HaShmashis is only a harifying. It's only a split second. So the Pasuk says we were engaged in building the Beis HaMikdash all day long from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKecham means a second before Tzeis HaKecham. It isn't too much more than a second. But if you hold like Rabbi Yudah says that Bein HaShmashis is a whole block of time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 72 minutes, 96 minutes, whatever. The whole market is late, all the various shikas, if you hold the whole block of time. Back in the Pasuk say that they were engaged in the building of the Beis HaMikdash till Tzeis HaKecham. It's not really the Rambam's fault, it's the fault of the Pasuk. We don't know what to do with that Pasuk. Rambam writes that everyone is obligated to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, even the women. He writes this in the same halacha that he writes that there is no binyan Beis HaMikdash balayla. So that's what the Acharonim is. Shouldn't it be considered a mitzvah saseh shazman grama? If the mitzvah only applies by yom and not balayla, the women should be put. So that's what many say. There are different answers. Some say this is a chavos hatzibur. The only time that rule applies, it's man grama, nashim apturis, is if it's a chavos hayochin, it's tilas lulo, tefillin, tzitzis, that's a chavos hayochin. But this is the whole Klal Yisrael is mechuyif. So women are mechuyif because they're part of Klal Yisrael. So there's no exemption of man grama and a chavos hatzibur. Others say differently, that there are aspects of the binyan Beis HaMikdash that may be done by Lailo. The Rambam himself writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that he doesn't count the making of the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaPnimi. He's not counting these as separate mitzvahs. These are all Pratim Mipirtei HaMitzvah. To build a Beis HaMikdash with its Kelim. So those Kelim that were not Mechubah LaKarka, the Aruch HaShulchan said you can build Balayla. Even those that are Mechubah LaKarka, but you can make this, you can carve the stones Balayla, and you can make the designs Balayla, you can do everything but the Chibur. You can't do the Hakimosis HaMishkan Bayom. Biyom Hakim is Hamishkan. The Hakom is Hamishkan. The Chibur LaKarka, or any tikkun that was done, Biyom the Mechubah LaKarka, that has to be done by Yom. But there were tikkunim that could be done by Lailo. There were sections of the mitzvah that could be done by Lailo. So that's not necessarily considered a mitzvah sesesh as Magrom. What in the Shulchan, it says in the Pasuk that the Shulchan had different parts to it. That one of the parts of the Shulchan were the Ksos HaNosach, Ksosov, and they're called later the Ksos HaNosach. Asher Yusach Bahem. What exactly does that mean, Asher Yusach? Asher Yusach Bahem? Miloshin schach, Rashi says. Kisui, what is schach? The cover. It doesn't mean a roof. It means a cover. So on the Shulchan, there were shelves that they would put the lechem upon him, on top of each one of these shelves, so that they wouldn't be sitting on top of each other. They shouldn't crush each other, so that the bottom one would spoil. So that's, those are called the ksois hanasach, the ksois of these shelves, asher yisach v'hein, that would cause sort of schach, that would be sitting on top of the lechem upon him below it. Most of the mefarshim on the siddur say that that's the meaning of the nusach and the davening that we say tikkun shabbos. So some translate nisacheho nisach hayayin. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Nisach hayayin. So the Avodram writes that that's not the correct pshat. Imsidurei nisacheho means the specific mitzvah. Nisach hayayin is every day of the week. That's referring to the specific mitzvah of changing the lechem upon it on Shabbos, and Sidur Nisachea means to switch the lechem aponim which are on top of the Ksois HaNosach. That the word Nisachea is referring to the word Schach, the Ksois HaNosach in this pasuk. That's what Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius complains about. At the beginning of the Reform movement, they translated the Siddur into German, and the Reform synagogues were davening from German. So he had a whole bunch of reasons, all the G'dolim, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chasam Sof and all those G'dolim at that time gave reasons why they felt that it's not proper to daven in German, even though the Mishnah says, we just learned it yesterday, Daf Lamites in Shavuos, that Tfilah is Nemeres B'Chaloshin. You are allowed to daven in any language. The Gemara just says in Seita, a chiluk between B'Yochid and Mitzibut. The Gemara says, B'Yochid, the prayers of B'Yochid don't go straight up to heaven, so you need the Malachi Asharis to present it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malachi Asharis are not Makirim, B'Shar L'Shoinis. They don't understand other languages. They only understand Hebrew. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Hashem came when the Tzibur davens, that their prayers go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need the Malachim to present it. So even they're even permitted to daven Malach. So the Gemara said beferish, that the Tzibur you love to daven Malach. So what's wrong? The original Reform rabbis were big Talmid Chacham. So they knew the Halacha. So these Gedolim had different reasons why they were opposed. But the Rav Zalman Margolius has a little tshuva where he explains why he's opposed. And one of the reasons that he suggests is that it's very hard to translate the words from the davening. The haraya that he picked up a German siddur in translation, and he saw that it says on this line in the Tikkun Shabbos in the Siddur Nisachah that this is an allusion to the Nisach HaYayin, and he says it's absolutely wrong that the Avodram says otherwise. The Beis Yosef quotes the Avodram that it's not referring to the Nisach HaYayin, it's rather referring to the lechem aponim which were placed on top of the Ksois HaNosach. But others say that it is referring to the Nisach HaYayin. And the Metzuda siddur, he says it's referring to the Nisach HaYayin, and on the bottom of the page it tells you who says that pshat, and he says, and the others say, the Avodram says that it's referring to the Ksois HaNosach. But the Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius wasn't aware of the fact that there are others who interpret otherwise. So he felt that the one who translated is totally wrong.
As far as the building makes a big mikdash for Balayla, is that a soul? Like you have to tear down what you built Balayla and rebuild the other part, or is that just innocent?
The Mikdash David discusses that, I think he quotes a Yerushalmi. If I'm not mistaken, I think it is a psul. That could be the simple explanation why it's not considered a mitzvah seser shazman graman. The mitzvah applies by yom balayla. It's not that the mitzvah is aimed in the hekes ala bayom. The mitzvah applies by yom balayla, but if you do a balayla, it'll be pasul. Same as by bris milah. Tosfos asks a kasha, why do you need the pasuk to say that the mother is not obligated to be mal her son, only the father, v'yom tzav oso, oso lo oso, isn't Mila mitzvah shazman gram because he can't perform it balayla? That's Taisis Kash. So the Shagasariyeh writes a teretz on Taisis Kash, and not like Taisis, not like the Rishonim don't give this teretz. Shagasariyeh says that answer. He says the obligation to perform the Mila is noik ben bayom ben balayla. Just if you do the Mila balayla, it'll be pasul. So that's not called zman gram. Zman gram means if the chiyuv is tolu bizman. But if the kiyum, if the afshor is kima, mitzvah is tolu bizman, that's not zman gram. Only if the obligation to perform the mitzvah is his man grom. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Mikdash David quotes such a Yerushalmi that even if he made it to the Eved, it'll be a psul. What they taka do in the Bai Sheni when there was no Aron, when there were no Kruvim, the din is that on Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol has to do the Zrika in front of the Aron. So if there's no Aron, what does he do? So the Mishnah says he would be Zorek Adam Keneged Amokim. The Mishnah in Yumer was written during the Bayi Sheni. So that's Tata and Daphne and Gimel, right before that discussion on Daphne and Dalit. Where were they going? Where was the Aron during the period of Bayi Sheni? So the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol used to be Zorek Adam Keneged Amokim where the Aron used to be. What good is that? They quote in the name of Elva Lesalavetchik that he said the word is that the Makam HaMikdash was Kitchel Osilova. Not only the whole Makam HaMikdash Bechlavus, but every particular section of the Makam HaMikdash. The Makam HaAroin had more Kedusha than the rest of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the halacha that requires the Kohen Gadol should be Zorek Adam Keneged HaAroin is not to be taken literally Keneged HaAroin. It has to be Zorek Adam Keneged that Makam. And that Makam retained its Kedusha, Kitchel Osilova. Yeah, the question is, but that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Whether the Makam HaMikdash was Kitchel Osilova. The Gemara has a machlokes when they built the Bayis Sheni, they didn't have all of the things. It says, V'chein Tasu, L'doiris, when you build the Bayis HaMikdash, you have to have Melech and Novi and Rambatumim and Kohen Gadol and Sanhedrin. But the question is, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when they built it, they didn't have Rambatumim, it wasn't functioning, and they didn't have Melech. There was no Jewish government at all. So how did they ever endow the Bayis Sheni with the Kedusha? You raised an issue before, where was there an obligation to build a Bayis Sheni? So he said, you're right, there was no obligation, it was a Harasha. The Navi, Chagai, told him, Ebon Shalom wants him to build a Bayis HaMikdash. All the three, Chagas Chaim Malachi, were the three prophets that told him that they were obligated to build a Bayis HaMikdash. Yeah, that was a Harasha, that they have an obligation to build it. But how is it endowed with Kedusha? The whole nature of the Kedusha was also a Harasha. So the Gemara is not prepared to say that. The Gemara in Shavuos has a Machloikis Tanoim and a Machloikis Hamaron. So one opinion is that it was Kitchel Osilova, so they didn't have to create the Kedusha again. The Kedusha of the Makam HaMikdash lasted from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. That's how the Rambam passes. But other Tanaim and Amoraim hold not so. That the Makam HaMikdash was like Kitchel Osilova, when it says in the Mishnah you need all of these things, Melech, Navi, Kohen Gadol, or in the Tumim, Sanhedrin, it doesn't mean that you need all five, it means that you need any one of these things. Achas Mekala Elutanan. And that's how Ezra and Nehemiah were able to build the Bayis Sheni and endow it with Kedusha, because they had a Sanhedrin, and they had the Nevi'im, Chagas Chaim Malachi. Even though they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim and they didn't have the Melech, but they had the Kohen Gadol and they had the Sanhedrin and so on. So that's the Chapela. The way Rav Avraham of Soloveitchik says that the whole idea that's described in the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol would be mazeh keneged the makom ha'arim where the yarn used to be. That's based on the premise that Kitchel Osilova. How can that be? That's based on the premise. But that was a machloekes satanayim. That was a machloekes satanayim where the Kitchel Osilova or not. All the way through the period of the second bar. So machloekes bizman hazeh, machloekes the Rambam and the Raavad. So what are the other Rishonim going to do? What's the Raavad going to do with this Mishnah? It describes that for hundreds of years. That's how they brought the. That's how they did the Avodas Yom Kippurim. Keneged the makom where the yarn was. To say that that's only based on the premise that Kitchel Osilova. Very strange.
How did Aron have a place if it's saying in Amida?
How did it have a place if it's saying in Amida? It's an interesting kasha. The Gemara says that when they would measure from this side of the Aron to the wall, it had a certain measurement. When they would measure from this side of the Aron to the wall, it had a measurement. When they would add it up, that was the amount of the sum total of the distance. So the Aron wasn't paid for any welcome at all. It broke all the laws of time and space. So where was the Makam where the Aron had a Kedusha? This is existing. On the floor, where was it? If the Gemara says that it was Einam and Amida. I have no idea. It was a nest. It was obviously some kind of a nest over there, some kind of a trick. I don't know. Gemara says that even though we pass from like Reb Meir, that all of the Amis were Amabas Shisha Tfochim, even those of the Kalim, but there were three Amis, the Gemara says, there were three that even Reb Meir agrees were the Amabas Hamisha. One was the Mizbah HaKtoris, the Shurim that are given Atake in Amabas Hamisha, and one was then the Mizbech HaChitzon, the Yesod, and the Sevet. The bottom two sections, there was Ola Amma Vikinisama, Ola Amma Vikinisama. So those Amis were the Amabas Hamisha Tfok. That's how the Gemara says. Those, the Gemara proves it based on Psikim Yecheskel. Those clearly were exceptions to the rule. Bavala points out that there was a special Hayrash Shoah that didn't apply to there. It's only applied in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk keeps on emphasizing. Kashehera oischa bahar, kein yasa. As you were shown on Har Sinai. That didn't apply to there. That's in one of the opening psukim also. Also the Migdash was shechante b'sechem. Kuchol asher anim, ara ischa istabnis amishna istabnis kol keilot. They had to make everything the same way he was shown a fiery image. Moshe Rabbeinu had a nevuah of a fiery image of the Mishkan and the Kelim. They had to make everything the same way it was in the image. It wasn't sufficient that he should make it this length and this width and this material, and it should be Mishukadim and Gvim and Kaftarim and Prof and Lidoiris. That was sufficient. The Chashmonaim were able to make a menorah on their own. But the Medrash says, Rashi quotes Medrash later, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to make the menorah. Niskasha Moshe Basias HaMenorah. And he couldn't succeed in making it, so he threw it into the fire, and it happened. The menorah was not dismayed left. What did he need a miracle for? How come the Chashmonaim were able to do it? So Avalos Alarechik says, because it was a special Hayrosha, it had to be Kamara Shaharesa Bahar, had to look exactly according to the image. So that was hard to do, so that he couldn't do that. On the other Kalim, he was able to do it. The menorah, every time he tried it, it didn't work out. He wasn't able to succeed. No, apparently that didn't bother him. As far as all of the shiurim that the Gemara says is a machlek satan, Yashil Tamsin, Yashil Tamsin. So the Gemara is, what about all of the measurements here of the clay hamikdash, the clay hamishkan, had to be exactly this? The Gemara says that they measured it. That's the halacha.
Even after copying, just like the measurement, now he has to copy this. He wasn't giving measurements. He was giving something to
cover
the shape.
He was given the shape by everything. It says he was shown Tavnus Amishna, his Tavnus Kokelo. He saw Mara, Aisha, and Har Sinai with everything in it. And all the others, apparently, he was able to do just in Stasa Moshe. But Menorah, that was that he found too difficult to do it. Kamara Sheharesa Bahar. The Chashmonaim didn't have that Hayrasha. Didn't have to be Kamara Sheharesa Bahar. So they found it easy. They made a Menorah with Kivim, Kaptar, Mefrat, and Mefartim. According to the specifications given by the Chumash. And then the artist can use whatever imagination he wanted to. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed, wasn't permitted to use his own imagination. Had to make it Kamara, and he wasn't able to do that. In the Chumash it says there were three parts to the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was the Heichal, and then there was the Azara, three levels of Kedusha. In the Haftarah, it says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place of Migdash, there was already another additional level of Kedusha. The Ulam was in front of the Heichal. And the Gemara has an ongoing discussion about this Ulam, whether Kedushas Ulam is Kedushas Heichal or Kedushas Azara. What status? The Heichal was like this. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Heichal was 30 amos long and 10 amos wide. The Kodesh Kedushim was 10 by 10 by 10. It was a cube. And the rest of the Heichal was 20 by 10. And it was 10 tall. And the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaLavim, the Shlomo HaMelech paid, everything was bigger. And the Ulam was the other way. The Ulam was in front of the opening of the Heichal, and it was longer than it was to the length of the Ulam was to the width of the Heichal. So apparently he was told the Nevuah. The Navi was told the Nevuah, that that's how they should build the Beis Rishon with an Ulam. But the Gemara is not sure what status the Ulam had. They had the status of Kedusha as like Kilifneim or Kilachutz. Let's say if they would move the Mizbach HaKteris there, would you be able to be Mach HaKteris? Mizbach HaKteris has to be in the Heichal. So did the Ulam have the Kedusha as Heichal? The Mizbach HaKteris is supposed to be the other way in the Heichal, but let's say if you move it somewhere else, it'll also be good. What if you move it into the Heichal? Into the Ulam. Did the Ulam have Kedusha as Azara? Or did the Ulam have Kedusha as Heichal? So the Gemara has this pilpul, back and forth, we're not sure. At the end of the Parshas Truma, it says that the Azara was 100 by 50 amos. 50 by 50 is a base saw, and the Chatzar Azara was Sasayim. It was two base saw. Base saw times two. Sasayim ke Chatzar HaMikdash. Sasayim ke Chatzar HaMishkan. The Gemara has this shear, Sasayim, base Sasayim, 100 saw by 50 saw. It's a concept in Hilchas Erevin, Hilchas Shabbos. You have an area that has enclosed with mechitzas, but it's Loi Hukaf Ledira. Nobody lives there. There are no houses there. Or even if you built the house later, but the person didn't live there before you built the walls. But let's say a farm, you make an area around the farm, so you're not allowed to carry. Midirabbanim. And Atayra, that's called a katif. And Atayra, it's a Rishu Sayachat Gemura. Midirabbanim, you're not permitted to carry if it's Yosim the Beis Hasayim Shaloi Hukaf Ludim. So that Shia Beis Hasayim, that's a Shia the Rabbanim. The whole thing of the Rabbanim comes from the Chatzah HaMishkan. The Pasuk says that the Chatzah was Chamishim V'Chamishim. What kind of Chamishim V'Chamishim? That was the front part of the Chatzah. It was 50 by 50. The back part was 50 by 50. The sum total was 100 by 50. So why does the Chumash only single out the 50 by 50? That's only half of the story. Berechav chamishim v'chamishim. Benigyat the dinim de Rabbanan. The Tosis claims that it's relevant benigyat the dinim de Raisa as well. If you take this 100 by 50, chamishim v'chamishim is a square. But the Chatzar HaMishkan was not a square. It was a rectangle. It was 100 by 50. So that phrase, v'recha chamishim v'chamishim, we should say v'recha chamishim. The width is not chamishim v'chamishim, the width is 50. So that phrase, chamishim v'chamishim, implies you should take the 100 by 50 and convert it into a square, and then take the square root in order to find out what the length of what side is. So what is that relevant for? It's not relevant for the Chatzah HaMishkan. Chatzah HaMishkan wasn't a square, it was a rectangle. It's relevant for other areas of Halacha. Shivim Amas v'Shiram, it's going to be 70 Amas plus. 70 Amas plus. So you usually assume that this is going to get the dinim of Tchumen the Rabbanon. So Taisa shows that it's relevant to dinim deraisa as well. And this is a drasha gemura. Berech of chamishim v'chamishim is the source of that din. That you take the 100 by 50, you make it into a square, and then you take each bar of that square will be shivim amas v'shiram, 70 plus. Shvaridim. Okay.